So open your Bibles to Romans 14 and let's pray. Father, we thank you for just an opportunity to get in your word now, Lord. We know that it is food for our souls, Lord. We know that your desire is to teach us, to renew our minds, Lord, that we might not be those people who continue being conformed to the patterns of this world, but are transformed by the renewing of our minds. And so, Father, we just ask that you would continue that work in us, Lord, that we might walk as you've called us to, as living sacrifices, walking in that which is the good and perfect and acceptable will of God. And so, Father, as we go on today, just continue to teach us what that is, that good and perfect and acceptable will that you have for us as we walk and live the Christian life. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, guys, we come to chapter 14. Paul is continuing on with what it is to walk as a living sacrifice in relationships one with another. And we know he's been dealing with our Christian testimony and attitude as we walk in the Spirit as it relates to other people. Last week we were looking at the issue of loving one another, and he continues on with that idea of what it is to love our neighbor, okay, and to really walk in the Spirit of God. And so as we get to Romans 14, he's dealing with issues where there are things that could cause divisions and disruption in the body of Christ if we let them, and yet they're unnecessary things to get wound up about. There are things that are just people's scruples, which are secondary issues, which if someone has different scruples than you have, we can get by with those things. Now, there are doctrinal issues, which are the sound teachings of the Bible that we hold fast to. There's no variance on those. If the Bible teaches it, that's what it is, okay? And so as Christians, we say, all right, well, that's what the Bible says, very clear, very doctrinally sound. That's what we walk in. But there are areas in our lives where we might have a little different viewpoint on some scruple than someone else. And here Paul's going to be dealing with the scruples that were probably mainly Jewish, things that they were wanting to hold to and continue to practice, and that the Gentile believers didn't. And so those things could have caused divisions if they let them. And Paul's talking to him about not letting those things cause divisions. They're not essential issues. They're not doctrinal things that we're to hold fast to. They're just people's beliefs about certain issues that really don't make any difference. And so that's an important thing for us to remember, that sometimes we might have just a little different scruples than someone. Now, if it comes to, you know, immoral things and things like that, then there's an issue there. But we're talking about things that don't really matter. Maybe somebody sitting here says, hey, I'm a vegetarian, okay? Those are my scruples. I'm a vegetarian. That's what I like. That's how I eat. That's who I am. Should that be a problem with someone here that's a meat eater? Only in Modoc County. But, you know, those things become issues sometimes, don't we? And we divide over stupid things like that. And yet that's what Paul's dealing with here as he goes through this section. So let's go ahead and read it and see what he has to say. So starting in verse 1, he says, receive one who is weak in the faith, but not to disputes over doubtful things. For one believes he may eat all things, but he who is weak eats only vegetables. Let not him who eats despise him who does not eat, and let not him who does not eat judge him who eats, for God has received him. Who are you to judge another servant? To his own master he stands or falls. Indeed, he will be made to stand, for God is able to make him stand. One person esteems one day above another, another esteems every day alike. Let each be fully convinced in his own mind. He who observes the day observes it to the Lord, and he who does not observe the day to the Lord, he does not observe it. He who eats, eats to the Lord, for he gives God thanks, and he who does not eat to the Lord, he does not eat and gives God thanks. For none of us lives to himself, and no one dies to himself. For if we live, we live to the Lord, and if we die to the Lord. Therefore, whether we live or die, we are the Lord's. For to this end Christ died and rose again, arose and lived again, that he might be Lord of both the dead and the living. But why do you judge your brother? Or why do you show contempt for your brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then each of us shall give account of himself to God. Therefore, let us not judge one another anymore, but rather resolve this, not to put a stumbling block or a cause to fall in our brother's way. So let's stop there and we'll look at that first part, and we may go on from there, but let's just go through the first section right now and see what we have here. So First and foremost, Paul says, receive one who is weak in the faith, but not to disputes over doubtful things. Now, the weak one in the faith, what's he talking about there? He's talking about someone who is not necessarily mature in their Christian understanding of the freedom they have in Christ. And we have great freedom in Christ. We're not under the law. We're not under codes that make us have to observe certain things. Is there any observances that we have to do as Christians? Okay. What are some things that we do as Christians that we observe? Okay, we do communion. Okay, we meet on Sunday, which was something the early church did. Do we have to do those things? Okay, does a believer actually have to be baptized? That's another observance that we have. Do you have to be baptized? Okay, no, there's no observances that we have to partake in. Now, do we have the privilege to partake in those things? Absolutely, we have the privilege, and that's how we should see it, as a privilege, that it's part of our spiritual walk with the Lord. But we're not under obligation. And so this one who's weaker in the faith, he still feels that he's under some obligations, doesn't understand his total liberty in Christ. Okay, so Paul says of this weaker brother, he says, receive one who is weak in the faith, but not to disputes over doubtful things. Now, what's he talking about? Well, he's talking about this. Receive him into the fellowship, okay? We shouldn't have divisions over these scruples that one person has that another person doesn't. So receive him into the fellowship and don't receive him for the very purpose of trying to convince him he's wrong. Okay? And that's the tendency sometimes, isn't it? Our tendency sometimes is to, well, you know, once we get this person involved with us, then we can open their eyes to how foolish their thinking is. You know, that's not our job to do. Now, as the Word of God gets taught by the Holy Spirit and so on, and we sharpen one another, iron sharpens iron, and we speak the truth and love to each other, oftentimes, as we grow, then we start to realize, wow, there's certain things that I was observing or holding on to that I don't need to hold on to. But the Holy Spirit does that over time, doesn't he? And does that by the Word of God. And so we need to let God have time to do that. It's not, hey, we'll get these people in and then we'll get them straightened out on this issue, okay? What if you had someone who came into the fellowship who felt like there was a certain, you know, some certain thing that they should be observing, and they kind of were wondering why you didn't observe that? Would we give way for them to continue to observe that themselves? What if they ask us to observe it?
Kick them out.
Kick them out. There you go. Yeah, don't dispute with them. Just get rid of them right away. No, we would try and have grace on that. We'd try and have a dialogue about that and say, well, it's all right that you practice that, but then please don't try and impose that upon me either, because I don't have that same scruple. And we talk about those things. But we'd be also those that would say, you know what? I can set aside my freedoms so that I can try and help this person still have fellowship with the Lord and not have a conflict. That's what it means to be a living sacrifice. I'm dying to myself continually so that others might benefit, that I might really show love to my brother. So that might mean setting aside some of my freedoms. And say, you know, I'm going to set these aside so that this person doesn't get stumbled by this whole thing. And Paul will get into that deeper as he goes on in the chapter. But so the issue is, don't bring him in and then try and have disputes and things like that over doubtful things. Now, again, he's talking about these doubtful things, these scruples that people have that are not doctrinal issues. Okay. And the ones we're going to see here, as he's talking about, is ones who feel free to eat meat and ones that don't feel free to eat meat, ones who observe certain days and ones who don't observe certain days. So it's probably a Jew-Gentile issue here, okay? Because you had a lot of Jews in the church in that day, and many of them were still observing some of the Jewish regulations and rituals. Paul's saying there's not one thing wrong with that. Now, would there be a problem with it if they were observing it because they felt like in some way that's how they earned their salvation or could keep their salvation? Yeah, then there'd be a problem with it. We wouldn't dispute over with them, but we'd take them to the scriptures and show them, no, it's fine that you observe these things, but if you're thinking that these things save you or keep you saved, then we need to go through the scriptures and show you the understanding that it's by grace that we're saved, not of works, lest anyone should boast, right? So we'd have to go through that with them. But that's not the issue here. Apparently nobody felt they were being saved by this. They just felt like, hey, this is what my values are, and this is what I'm holding to, and this is what I want to do. So he says, for if one believes, he may eat all things, but he who is weak eats only vegetables. So somebody here thinks they can eat all things. Now, what was the situation that took place with Peter in the book of Acts? Okay, remember when he had the movie screen come down and he got a motion picture? And the motion picture was what? God was showing him that, hey, you can eat all these animals that you once thought were unclean, because the Jews had a very strict dietary code under the law, didn't they? Okay, now as God opens the program up to salvation coming to the whole world, he begins to do this program where he shows Peter that there's nothing unclean. Okay, and that real testimony was to show him that the Gentiles weren't unclean and you were going to go out to the Gentiles with the gospel, right? That was the real issue. But he showed him you can eat all things. What did Peter say at first? No way, never would I do that. God says, hey, don't call clean, unclean what I call clean. And so we understand that now we could eat all things, couldn't we? Okay, now be careful on that, but we could eat all things. Now for the issue there, what was some of the issues that the Jews would not eat? What were some of the things they wouldn't eat? Pork, okay, they wouldn't eat shellfish, lobster, stuff like that. So one says, you know, my dietary code is pretty much vegetables, poor person. You know, I never have figured that out. But whatever, we won't dispute over that. But one says, I only eat vegetables. The other says, I can eat all things. Should we get in a battle over that? No. What if your weaker brother says, well, you know, you eating meat is sin? Okay, we don't dispute over it, but we do try and help them understand, no, that's not really the case. So we're not to try and impose one way or the other, okay? Now, what if our weaker brother gives a good case why we should eat vegetables and not have a heart attack at 50 with all the meat we eat? Might be a good case, right? Okay, we might want to pay attention to that. But I'm going to eat whatever's on the table today. There's nothing on the table, by the way. What's going on? Did anybody bring pork? Good, we'll pray over it. What is the issue with our food, by the way? It is all sanctified by what? The Word of God and prayer. Okay, that's what Paul tells Timothy. It's all sanctified by the Word of God and prayer. What does that mean? It means that whatever the Bible says about our dietary code, that's what goes. So there's no restrictions in the New Testament, is there? Okay. And then what does it mean by prayer, sanctified by prayer? We give thanksgiving for it. We pray over it. We give thanksgiving and thank God for it and ask Him that it would nourish our bodies. And if you're eating junk food, you should pray extra hard. Okay. It's not a bad idea. God can make anything nourishing, can't He? Okay. And so that's something we should do, is pray over our food. So one believes he may eat all things, but he who is weak eats only vegetables. Let not him who eats, the guy who knows that he's got freedom to eat everything, let him who does not eat, let him not despise or judge him who eats, and vice versa. Okay. So we want this thing to be not having any kind of judgment or condemnation going on about who's eating what. Okay, that's not the issue. We're not trying to get in a battle over that. He says, let not him who eats despise him who does not eat, and let him who does not eat judge him who eats, for God has received him. So the point is what? We're all believers. God's received us. So we're believers and God has received us into fellowship with Him. So if God has received a person into fellowship with Him, when they have these scruples that are different than ours and these values that are different than ours, why would we as the body of Christ then not willingly receive them also? See, that's the point. If God's received them already and He brought somebody in who was a vegetarian, He brought somebody in who was a pork eater, and He brought them to fellowship together, and He's accepted them both, then why wouldn't we accept them? See, we're going way outside of God's standard if we won't accept one another. Now, obviously, that was going on, though, wasn't it? Paul wouldn't have been dealing with it unless it would have been a problem. So there was apparently some divisions about this stuff. And Paul's trying to get it straightened out, saying, guys, that's not where it goes. Verse 4 says, who are you to judge another servant? Good question. Whose servants are we? We're God's servants, okay? And He's received us all. So why would I be judging God's servant? You're not my servants, and I'm not your servant. We're God's servants. So why should I be judging God's servants? If He's received us and accepted us the way we are, then we shouldn't be trying to get someone to change. He says, to His own master, he stands or falls. Indeed, he will be made to stand, for God is able to make him stand. So this weaker brother, or this brother that knows he's got this liberty, or the sister that knows they've got this liberty or has this certain scruples of secondary issues, who's able to make them stand? God's able to make them stand, and he will make them stand, and they'll stand in that day when they come before the judgment seat of Christ. And in that day, God will deal with those issues that relate to service, and we'll get to that in a minute. But he's the one who makes them stand. Now he goes on, he says, and here's another issue, okay? One person esteems one day above another, another esteems every day alike. Let each be fully convinced in his own mind. He who observes the day observes it to the Lord, and he who does not observe the day to the Lord, he does not observe it. Okay? So the day issue. Now what would the day thing be? Okay, some of them were Jews. They were still wanting to not work on Saturday. Okay, that was the Sabbath day, and the Lord had given the Jews the Sabbath day, and they were to keep it holy, and on that day they were to do no work. They weren't to travel. They weren't to do all kinds of things, were they? And some of the Jews felt like they still wanted to observe that day. Now, apparently they didn't think it was a salvation issue or anything like that, but they were observing that. So would it be okay for them to continue to observe that day? Of course, that's what Paul's saying. Let it not cause disputes. Now, another person, he sees every day as alike. The Gentiles they saw every day as alike didn't matter to them, so no big issue, all right? And once we become free in Christ, do we realize that it's not about a day? Now, we would all say, and how many of us would say this, you know, you need to go to church and have to go to church on Sunday if you're really a Christian. I hope nobody would say that. Okay, because you don't have to go to church on Sunday to be a Christian. What's the issue of going and being in fellowship on Sunday? What's it about? What's it for?
It's fellowship.
Okay, it's fellowship. It's a privilege. It's a time when we get together and encourage one another. We can be taught. We can grow in the Lord. We can pray for each other. Find out what's going on in each other's lives. If we were a body in the body of Christ and yet we were never coming together, would we get kind of disjointed? Okay, we would. Okay, if your hand wasn't attached to your body and it's off doing its own thing all the time, it's still your hand, right? But would it really be that functional? No, it causes the whole body to be unfunctional. So there's a reason to come together, that so we can grow and grow up in our knowledge of Christ, so we can encourage each other, we can fellowship with each other. There's all kinds of good reasons, but you have to do it. Don't have to do it. Okay. Now, we might be spiritually poor for not doing it, okay, but we don't have to do it. There's nothing that says we've got to get together and meet on Sunday, okay? And yet, what happens today? There's still groups that would say, you know, if you don't go to church, you're probably not even a Christian. I know all kinds of Christians that don't go to church, okay? Now, generally, they're not necessarily very strong in their faith and some of those things, but sometimes they are, too, okay? So that's something we need to understand. It's not about those things. Now, did the early church, did they begin to observe? Why did they begin to observe coming together on Sunday? Anybody know why they began to do that? We see it in different places in Scripture. There was reasons. Number one is, who was resurrected on Sunday?
Jesus.
Okay. So they began to gather on the day that Jesus was resurrected. The day of Pentecost ended, okay, on a Sunday. The early church was commended to come together on Sunday and give their offering, okay, and make their offering to the Lord and those kind of things. So there's different places in Scripture where we see that the early church began to get together on Sunday, but it was never demanded that they do that. Okay, Paul said, when you come together, do this. Okay, but nobody demanded of them that they came together. So if you want to leave right now and you felt an obligation to be here, you can go ahead and go. But you're going to miss out on the food. So if you leave now, that's it. No, but there's not this obligation to have to be there. But we shouldn't let that be a dispute. What if somebody did come into our fellowship and say, well, you know, if you don't go to church on Sunday, you know, it's kind of doubtful. Your Christianity is kind of in question. What if somebody came into our fellowship with that kind of mentality? What would we do? There we go. We throw him out again. You and Patty. No, we need to go back to verse 1. We would receive one who is weak, not to dispute over doubtful things. Okay.
You'd have to be quiet.
Yeah, he'd have to be quiet. No, maybe we'd have to be quiet. You know, I mean, those are the little things. We laugh about it, but those are little things that do cause disputes in the body of Christ. We get into these little nitpicky attitudes about scruples when we should just let it go and pray. Okay, let it go and pray and figure that the Lord's going to work through that. You know, somebody that had that attitude that came in and made that kind of standard and laid that out, what would probably happen? If the Lord wasn't able to penetrate their heart and begin to show them things from the Word of God, what would probably happen? They would just leave. Okay, they would go away, and you wouldn't have to, so we wouldn't have to have this dispute over the whole thing. And, you know, should we go, oh, good, they finally left? No, we don't have that attitude either, okay? You know, the issue is we're to be living sacrifices showing love one for another, okay? That's what we really are to do. Have nothing, owe no one anything but to love one another, as we saw last week. So one person esteems one day above another. Another esteems every day alike. Let each be fully convinced in his own mind. Now, I want to talk about this day thing again for a second. Now, what if you did have someone come into the fellowship and they began to tell you that if you don't keep the Sabbath day, you are not saved, and that salvation depends on you keeping the Sabbath day? Now, what would have to take place at that point? Would there be time for a disputing? Yeah, and probably it would be up to the leadership to take care of that and deal with that and say, you know what, that is a false doctrine, okay? And so we're not going to allow a false doctrine to infiltrate the fellowship here. And so you would need to either change your false doctrine or we would have to part fellowship, okay? So there is a time to part fellowship over sound doctrinal issues. So here again, we're not talking about people thinking this is a salvation issue. It's just people saying, hey, this is how I feel about something. This is what I want to do, okay? What about Christians who would come into the fellowship and question why some people celebrate Christmas? What, should we have disputes about that? Okay. Is there issues? Like, what, you couldn't be a Christian and not celebrate Christmas, could you?
Sure.
Okay, we could, couldn't we? And in fact, there's a lot of stuff that we could find out that we'd go, well, maybe it's the weaker brother who celebrates Christmas. Would we ever think about that, thinking that it was the weaker brother who celebrated Christmas? Interesting thoughts, okay? We got to think through those things, but we shouldn't dispute over those things. And I'm not saying it's the weaker brother, but there's possibility that it would be, because we go, doctrinally, where is there any place in the scriptures where we'd find that Christmas has to be a celebration? And if I felt like there was this heavy burden on me as a Christian that I need to celebrate Christmas because everybody else is doing it, but I don't feel in my heart that I want to do that, would that be a problem? Shouldn't be a problem. Either side, that shouldn't be a problem, should it? Okay, we don't get into disputes over days. He goes on, he says, so he who observes the day observes it to the Lord. So he's convinced in his heart, isn't he, that that's what he should be doing, and that's perfectly okay. And he says, and he who does not observe the day to the Lord, he does not observe it. So he's fully convinced in his mind too. He says, he who eats, eats the Lord, for he gives God thanks, and he who does not eat to the Lord, he does not eat and gives God thanks. Okay? So they're both the Lord's servants. They're both doing what they do as they have conviction by the Lord. They're doing that in good conscience with the Lord. And so we need to let it be that, right? We don't get into this issue where we begin to battle over those things and make a fight over it and cause dissension and disruption in the body of Christ for it. If we're both doing it with a conviction to the Lord, then that's perfectly fine, isn't it? That's the way it should remain. He goes on, he says, for none of us lives to himself and no one dies to himself. Okay. In other words, once we're the Lord's, okay, and that's his point is, once we're belong to the Lord, we're not living for ourselves, nor do we die for ourselves. We're actually living now for the Lord, and we actually die in the Lord. And in doing that, then living to the Lord, we also what? Live one for another. And we also die one for another. He's talking about that sacrificial issue. As Christ gave himself as a sacrifice, we too ought to give ourselves as a living sacrifice, shouldn't we? One for another. And we don't do anything now independent of the Lord. If we live, we live to the Lord. If we die to the Lord. Therefore, whether we live or die, we are the Lord's. For to this end Christ died and rose and lived again, that he might be Lord of both the dead and the living. So he is the Lord of us all. If we're his own, if we've come to faith in Christ, we belong to him. And so we need to remember that we belong to him and that we're not independent one from another. Okay? We become one body in him. That's one of the problems that causes problems in the church, is when we get this independence mentality. We forget we belong to the Lord. We forget that He's bought us with a price, that He's paid for us. Okay? And we start having this self-centered mentality. Well, our self-centered mentality is still conformity to the world, isn't it? Okay, so He's calling us not to be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of our minds, understanding that we belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. And in doing that, and if we keep that in mind, we'll have a different way of dealing with one another. Just as Jesus died and rose again, we'll be those people that will lay our lives down one for another. We won't look for little things to cause divisions. We'll look for things that bring unity. Okay? And what brings unity is abiding in truth together, isn't it? So we begin to try and walk in truth together. Love one another. He says in verse 10, "But why do you judge your brother? Or why do you show contempt for your brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ." Okay? Who's the judge? God's the judge. I'm not the judge. So why do I play judge? Okay, why do I get in the place where I think I have the right to judge what my brother or sister is doing and whether I think what they're doing is right or what they're doing is wrong? Now, if it's an issue, again, where it's a doctrinal issue, it's moral issues, and we see problems, then we talk to one another about those things, don't we? But when it's these issues that are non-essential things, we shouldn't get this judgmental mentality. Maybe one person serves the Lord and feels like that he's serving the Lord by continuing to keep the Sabbath day. Is that okay? Maybe one person feels like he really is serving the Lord by continuing to eat kosher foods. Okay, so he's serving in good conscience with the Lord. And you know what? When he stands before the judgment seat of Christ, then those issues are going to be dealt with. What if there's a person who just holds those scruples but doesn't have a good conscience towards the Lord? He's not doing those things in faith, but he's doing them out of some obligation and really doesn't know if he's serving the Lord or not serving the Lord, but he's just holding fast to those things. Well, then at that point, the Lord at the judgment seat of Christ, where we're judged for our service to Christ, those issues will be dealt with, won't they? So am I doing what I do as unto the Lord, or am I doing it for some other reason? If I'm doing it and feel like I'm doing it as unto the Lord, guess what? God is going to reward me at the judgment seat of Christ for that, even if it's something that's a non-doctrinal issue. Now, when we talk about this coming before the judgment seat of Christ, what is that judgment about? Does everybody understand what the Bema seat of Christ is, this judgment seat of Christ? All Christians will go before the judgment seat of Christ. Now, we're going to be judged there for what we've done in the flesh for the Lord. In other words, our service in this time, what we've been doing. Have we been serving the Lord in good conscience and in faith or not? And are we going to be rewarded for what we've done that's been good in good conscience and in faith? And those things that we haven't, those things will be removed. There'll be no reward for that. So that's what that's about. It's not an issue of sin. Where was our sin judged? At the cross. So there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, right? We'll never face any kind of judgment that's for condemnation. That's past. Christ bore our condemnation on the cross. He dealt with that at Calvary, didn't he? So we'll never be judged for our sins. Jesus bore our sins in his own body, was judged there, took upon himself the condemnation that was due us, and now we're free in Christ Jesus if we've come to faith. If we've trusted that Christ bore our condemnation, that he bore our sins at the cross, and that he paid that penalty for him, then we're free in Christ Jesus, aren't we? If we've come to him in faith. Some people say, well, that sounds too easy. Well, I don't know, figure out another way to do it. There's no other way to do it, is there? Christ had to bear our sins. We couldn't pay for our own sins, could we? Now, there will be those that will go before the great white throne judgment. Entirely different judgment. And they'll go there and they'll have to plead their case before the Lord. You know what will be the end result of that? They'll be weighed and found wanting. No one's going to be able to stand before the great white throne and plead their own case and say, well, this is what I did and this is what I did and this is what I did. I think you should let me in. Okay, all that go before the great white throne, it says, will be cast into the lake of fire. Do you and I as believers ever have to worry about that judgment? No, we won't even be at that judgment. Okay, we'll go before the Bema seat of Christ where we'll be judged for rewards or lack thereof. And that's what Paul's talking about here. Why would we be judging somebody else's service and how they want to serve the Lord? When it's non-essential issues, it's not up to us to judge each other. Jesus will take care of that at the judgment seat of Christ. Whether those things that were done in their body were done in faith and good conscience and a wholeheartedness to serve the Lord or not. That's his issue, not our issue. Okay? So if we want to get into this nitpicky mentality where we're bickering about what somebody's doing and we don't think they're serving the Lord the right way because they're continuing to keep the Sabbath or they're doing this or that, if it's not about a salvation issue, we better drop it. That's what Paul's talking about. If it's not an issue that's doctrinal that we can see where it's sound doctrine and they're not doing something that's offending or they're not doing something immoral, then we need to drop that issue. Okay? We're free in Christ. So we can't let those things bring divisions in our lives. Okay? What about, let's go away from the food and drink thing for a minute. Okay? And the days. What are some of the things that today, say in our own little fellowship, that could cause little disruptions possibly? Well, you know, those people, they let their kids do this. We don't let our kids do that. Their kids get to go do this. We don't do that with our kids. Okay? And why I bring that up is because I've been involved in those kinds of issues. Well, these people let their kids, and we're not talking about their kids going and doing immoral things, but maybe things that we don't feel the total freedom to let our kids go do. And all of a sudden, there's a little separation and fellowship because, well, our kids and us are a little more holy than that family and their kids. And so, you know, let's not fellowship with them anymore. We'll just kind of avoid them in the fellowship. See, it comes down to different things for us, doesn't it? And that's where it starts to meet, the rubber meets the road. And we have to say, am I actually cutting off fellowship with someone that I could be an encouragement to over non-essential issues? Okay, so we've got to find out, first and foremost, what are the essential issues? Where do we find the essentials? Clearly laid out in the doctrines of the New Testament. Okay, very clear. All right, the non-essentials, we need to set those things aside. Okay. Now, if we feel like our kids, if they were involved with some other family, they'd be exposed to immoral things or something like that. Yeah, that's an issue, isn't it? Okay, but we're not talking about immoral things. It's like, well, you know, we don't let our kids go over there because they eat so much sugared cereal for breakfast. And our kids, they only eat oatmeal. And everybody laughs, but you know what? I've seen those kinds of things cause divisions. Stupid little things like that that make no difference. And why I say that is because I was one of those people. Okay? Our first batch of kids, okay, we've had a couple now. Our first batch of kids, the second batch we've totally screwed up. The first batch we screwed them up too. We totally screwed them up. But, you know, the first batch, we were like that. We're the perfect parents. Our oldest boy had never had sugar, I don't think, till he was like, what, three? Oh, okay. I guess it was his first birthday. Yeah. So, you know, but our kids weren't going to have a bunch of candy and sugar and all that stuff, you know, because of course we're raising perfect kids. And then, you know, the first time they did have sugar, we thought, whoa, that's not a real good idea. Maybe you want to give them some sugar. But you know what? We would guard our kids based on stupid things like that. Well, you know, I don't know if I want them to go over there because, you know, they're going to be doing all this and that stuff, you know. So you get into these stupid little scruple things that cause divisions. The first time our oldest son did have sugar, then it was a mess. You ever see a kid that's never had sugar, then they have a whole bunch all at once? You ever see someone on a sugar drunk and then a sugar hangover later? He was, I think, what was he, rolling across the living, yeah, he was rolling across the living room floor, back and forth, back and forth, back and forth for about an hour, and then it all crashed, okay? So, but, you know, stupid little things, you know, and we could cause those things, we could have those things cause divisions in the body of Christ. And they're really just not issues at all. And it could get even, you know, something more than that. That's kind of a stupid example, but we let those stupid things cause divisions and we shouldn't do that. That's Paul's whole point. We're all going to come before the judgment seat of Christ. He says there, as he quotes from Isaiah, that there is a time when every knee shall bow and every knee shall tongue will confess to God. And so there we're going to stand and we're going to be judged for the things we've done in this body, and whether good or bad. And at that point, we'll be either rewarded for our service or lack thereof in areas. And so, you know, what we need to think about for ourselves personally is, yeah, we're all going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Are the things that I'm holding fast to and the things that I'm walking in and doing, are they things that the Spirit is leading me in? And are they according to truth? See, that's the real issue. And you know, if some of those things that you have in your life, really you can't find in the Scriptures, and you don't really have this strong conviction that the Holy Spirit is leading you in those, maybe those things are things you can let go of. And let those things come out of your life and find more freedom in Christ. Okay? And so that's for each of us to look at and see, because it's those things that we do in the power of the Holy Spirit that we're going to be rewarded for. And so why not walk that life where we're empowered by the Spirit of God and we're walking in truth, and that the Lord can reward us for those things, and that those things then bear good fruit in others' lives? Because it's only the things that come from the Spirit working in us that are going to bear good fruit. That's the things that bear good fruit in each other's lives. So let those be the issues, not these little nitpicky scruples that we have that cause divisions. Got to let those things go and get those things out of our lives. He says, so then, verse 12, each of us shall give account of himself to God. Therefore, let us not judge one another, but rather resolve this, not to put a stumbling block or cause to fall in our brother's way. Okay? So the issue is, don't put stumbling blocks. Don't cause each other to fall over dumb things. Okay? You know what? If you say, and he's going to get into that, we're not going to go in there this week because it'll take too long and it's getting hot and I'm weak in the flesh. I'm sweating down my back right now. But, you know, if there's those issues in our lives that would cause a stumbling in someone else, okay, and we know it would cause someone to stumble. If somebody says, you know, hey, why don't you come over to my house and, you know, we're going to have a vegetarian dinner because we don't eat meat. Go to their house and have a vegetarian dinner. And don't say a word about meat. And if you invite them to your house and they say, you know, I don't eat meat, fix them a vegetarian dinner. Absolutely. And enjoy fellowship with them. See, that's the whole point, is letting those things go and enjoy the fellowship that we can have and identifying in the things that we do have in common in Christ. And those are the things that are according to truth. So that's the real issue. So he'll get into that deeper next week, this not causing a stumbling issue. And we'll talk about that more next week. But, so set aside the stupid things, the non-essential things. Don't let those cause divisions, okay? If you don't have the same scruples as somebody else has on some certain thing, and it's not a moral issue, it's not a doctrinal issue, let it go. Let it go. And enjoy fellowship with each other. That's the whole point. Father, we thank you for your word and the truth of your word, Lord. We ask today, Lord, that we might just have a wonderful time of fellowship with each other, Lord, as we share in just our spiritual conversations, Lord, as we share in a meal together today, Lord. We just ask that you would just do your work in us, Father. And Lord, let these things be grounded in our heart. Let us be those people who really do understand our liberty in Christ, and yet, Lord, not be those who use our liberty to serve ourselves, but use our liberty to love and serve one another, as the Scripture says. So, Lord, I pray we just walk in that. In Jesus' name, amen. Nate, did you take the communion stuff inside? No, it got moved because the Yellow Jackets were getting it. Could you run in and get the communion stuff? As we get ready to partake in communion, maybe somebody can help. Matt, you want to help him real quick, and you guys can pass that out. As we get ready to partake in the Lord's Supper, let's remember this, that communion speaks of what? Remembrance. It's a remembrance of the things that Christ did. And what did Paul tell us today? For this reason, Christ died, gave himself as a sacrifice, and lives again. For this reason, what? That we might have fellowship one with another. And when we partake in the communion table, what we're doing is declaring not only the Lord's death until he comes and all that that means for us, but we're also proclaiming our unity with each other. We're proclaiming that we're one in Christ and that we have unity because the Spirit of God dwells within us. And so when we think about that, we shouldn't partake in the communion table lightly. Number one, if I'm not a believer, there's no point in participating in it because I'm really not someone who's in communion with Christ or with the body of Christ. So there's no point in partaking in it. But number two is, if I'm in a place where I've got divisions or things in my heart towards someone else, I shouldn't be partaking until I get that resolved either. That's an important issue. The Corinthian church, they were not discerning the Lord's body. Okay? They weren't understanding their unity in Christ and what was going on amongst them. They had all kinds of divisions amongst each other. There was strife in the body of Christ. There was contentions and hatreds and all kinds of backbiting going on. And they were encouraged, get this right, get this right, get this right. They weren't doing that. And so what was going on? Paul made it a really clear issue. You know what? Because you're continuing to partake in the Lord's Supper and acting as though you're in fellowship with each other when you do that, but you really aren't in your hearts, there's some of you that are weak and some that are sick and some that have passed on. That's pretty critical. Okay, he's talking about a very critical issue that we aren't to profane the Lord's body. And so we really need to think about that when we partake in communion one with another, that we have that strife and those divisions taken out of our heart. Otherwise, don't partake, because the Bible says you're eating and drinking judgment unto yourself. Okay, there's a disciplinary action that comes with it. So that's an important thing. So if you've got something in your heart with somebody today, let it pass by until you get that taken care of. Okay, if you can take care of it before then in your heart, that's fine. And I would just encourage you in that. So take a few minutes and think on that, and take a few minutes to just go before the Lord and ask him to show you if there's anything in your heart that is not pleasing to him at this point, and anything that might be necessary for you to repent of. And like I said, if there's something in your heart where you've got some strife with someone, don't partake. Okay? Don't eat and drink judgment to yourself. It's not wise to do that. So I would just encourage you in that. And everybody just take a minute, go before the Lord, and talk to the Lord about these things.